I had no power for 6 or 7 days. And I
managed really to, cranky though.
When really does, yeah. Well, my son, my son stayed over one night, and he said, "If you die during the night, can I eat you?" I mean, we were cold, you know. It was, but I stayed with my daughter a couple of nights, and she did have power, obviously. But recently, neighbors lost it again. 750,000 people without power, and wow. Many of those people without power would otherwise be teleworking. So something's got to give somewhere along the line. I mean, whether we go to underground lines or wireless, you know, batteries that last weeks at a time, right. but it's a very practical
or
thing.
Or everyone has their own generator or something like that. I mean, it's complex.
It is. It's much more difficult than saying, okay, everybody stay home and telework.
Yeah. Part of the challenge here is, and I mean, I'm a very mobile guy. Mm-hmm. I'm always working in various different places. I guess I don't fully understand why. It's not just supervisors, I don't think. I think there's a certain mentality of workers who say, you know what, out of sight, out of mind, I don't want to be out of mind at work.
Well, you know, the issue that I would raise as a private sector type, you know, you and I are facing this today for tomorrow.
Right.
We have to be here.
Right.
We just can't, you know, not being here is not an option. Now, whether you sleep in your car, whether you sleep right. on the floor, whether somebody will
I'm
get
not
us
sleeping
a
on the floors in here, let me tell you.
Yeah,
not
we
a
know what, we know what goes on. But I got a very good letter. In fact, I think I ran it in the column today from a guy who had been a private sector type.
Yeah.
He's in government. He loves it, loves the people, loves the work and everything. He says, but there's this mentality of some government workers that they will not take a day off if it's not free time. In other words, they will not take one day of vacation. They will risk life and limb to come in unless they get the day off.
Right.
And that's something I think has got, I don't know how you address something like that.
Well, I've also heard sort of undercurrents of rumblings of people who do have telework plans, which means that if there is a snow day, you don't get that day off, and people saying, hold on, why don't I get a day
exactly.
off at the government? And
exactly.
it's like, hold on
yeah.
here.
The grass is always greener, and we're always looking at what other people are getting. It's a kind of a childlike thing in this. Well, Bobby got this, I get to sit here. I think some people need to do an attitude adjustment. We've been slammed with some tough weather, and life isn't fair. It's going to hurt some people more than others, and if you're a teleworker and you have electricity, then you have to work, and if you're the non-teleworker and you're lucky enough to get the day off, you don't have to work. Life is tough.
Yeah, and I think we're all in this together, and we understand that, you know, we have kids or whatever mm-hmm. you have, and you have to make adjustments and figure out how to work all those things, but we have to figure out also how to get our jobs done.
Yeah.
And it becomes very complex. You're going to be talking about this tomorrow.
I'm going to be talking with Steve Watkins, editor of the Federal Times, and
yeah.
Steve Losey, one of their top reporters. By the way, everybody over there is named Steve.
I don't know
if you noticed that.
You don't get hired at the Federal. That's why they didn't hire me.
The importance of being Steve. But these guys are really up on things, and they're going to be talking about teleworking, how it's working, is it working. They're going to be talking about some new personnel and issues at the State Department, which I'm not aware of, and they won't tell me until the show. Department of Homeland Security has a new initiative for training supervisors and managers. And there's a couple of other things they're going to unveil. And, of course, we always look at the Postal Service. And then this thing that I had in the column this morning about the federal retirees being shortchanged because of the change in deductions in 2011. So, you know, we're going to get to cover a lot of that and, as always, try to follow the money.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you one quick thing about the last week in the State of the Union address, the president talked about this reorganization of government. And it felt a little bit like, oh, my goodness, here we go again. We all know how difficult this can be to do in government. We've seen it with DHS and other mm-hmm. organizations. What's your thoughts about, and Jeffrey Zients put in charge of it over the weekend, what's your sense of how you actually get this done?
Well, it's funny, and you after you've done this for a long time, a certain amount of cynicism is bound to creep in. You know, what's the old line that they used to say in the private sector? Everything will be better in the new building.
Right.
You know, as soon as we move in there, it's all okay. And a new administration comes in, albeit maybe with some old-time people.
Yeah.
But they're new and they're fresh, and they come in and they're going to knock Washington on its ear and straighten it out. And everyone does it. It's not unique to the Obama administration. The Bush people did it. Jimmy Carter certainly did it, tried to do it. Remember Al Gore's reinventing government effort,
yeah.
and some of the words change, the buzzwords change. Now, I think reinvention has been replaced by transparency.
Hmm.
But people who've been in government for 10, 15, 20 years have been through a dozen reorganizations and maybe many reorganizations within their own outfit. So you can understand why they're a tad sympathetic. On the other hand, you don't want to stand in front of this steamroller because you will get flattened.
You don't want to be the person who says, hold on, that's not the way we do business here.
Right.
Been doing business this way
You know what's useful is if you have somebody and if you will listen to them and they will say, they can't get away with just saying, this is the way we've always done it. That's no good. Even if it turns out to be the correct answer, that's not the way to do it. But if you can say, this is why we started doing this in 1948, and this is why we did it.
Right.
Now, is that reason still valid? And then you can take it from there. But it certainly does pay to listen to the old timers, the cool heads. And this is where the senior executive service people can be such standouts. They tend to have more time in government, tend to be a little older, a little more gray, and the politicals would be wise to consult with them and say, we're going to do this, we want to fix it, but we don't want to break it in the process.